Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How things are made matters. Eric Gorgeous is host and producer of the television program A Craftsman's Legacy. The new season airs on SDPB-TV's Create channel beginning January 8th. This season, Gorgeous uncovers and explores and honors the work of artisans and craftsmen across the country, trying his own hand at everything from arrow making to sword forging. It's all in service of the handmade tradition. Eric Gorgeous, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joining us now from Detroit, Michigan. This is your hometown, right?
Yes. Yeah. Nice and freezing cold today, like so much of the nation.
Let's start with the motorcycles, because you do custom-built choppers there, and you've been to South Dakota for Sturgis. Tell us a little bit about your work with motorcycles and your connection to the state.
Sure. So I started Voodoo Choppers in 99, and we've always really focused on hand-making as much of the bike as possible. So I got drawn into metal shaping and really everything that came with that. So I wanted to be able to make fuel tanks and fenders and oil tanks and frames and whatever, and that's what we did, you know. So we really started the business on that and just kept growing it and growing it and growing it. And going out to Sturgis is, I don't know, it's one of the funnest times of the year. It's just beautiful riding, you know. And I don't get to go every single year, but I go as often as I can, and it's just always a blast. I love being out there. I love riding out there. And
do you find that you have to explain to bikers at all why a custom-built machine makes a difference to them? Is that something they get intuitively?
Some people do. I think it's, you know, I always explain it or reference it to a custom suit. You know, it's the difference between, you know, going to the store and pulling something off a rack, or, you know, going to a tailor and having something made just for you. It's a very special thing. It's not something that everybody, one, would want, or two, is able to obtain, you know.
Right.
And the process is much different than any other type of purchase in the motorcycle industry. So, you know, because there's a long waiting period, you know, it's not, you don't get to walk in and then ride out the next day. You know,
right.
You have to wait.
And like a suit, you'd have to come in, you know, throughout the process as well, right? You'd have to.
Usually, yeah. We do a lot of bikes for people out of state, and I always suggest that it's best if they can at least, you know, come into town at least one time for a proper fitting.
Yeah.
Some people, they're not able to because of their schedules, and then we just pull measurements from them and go about it that way.
What do people want? Do they want just to, you know, to have the bike look like nothing else on the street? Are they interested in, you know, the fit that it feels and has that ride that they can't get from, you know, something they just picked up, you know, anywhere? Or is there something else that they're looking for?
Usually it's a combination of things. They want something unique, but they also want something that's very high quality. You know, it's
right.
Not your average motorcycle purchase. It's you know, a sizable investment usually. So I try to provide them with something that they're constantly going to be finding different points of detail, and even after they've owned the bike for you know, a period of time, that, you know, they might have owned it for a year and they're washing it and then they're like, oh man, I never saw this before, you know. That's what I like to do, is try to add as much detail into the bike as possible so that it, you know, continues rewarding and you know, I don't know,
yeah, right,
some point of satisfaction in the craftsmanship, you know.
Which is the perfect transition to A Craftsman's Legacy, because all those things, the quality and the detail and those surprises and the uniqueness, that's what you're looking for in the show a little bit as well, right? That philosophy.
Absolutely. You know, the principles behind the show, the spirit of the show, never changed. It was always to highlight craftsmanship and the craftsman behind that. And when I say craftsman, I'm not using it in a term that's gender specific. It's a, to me, it's not a gender specific term. It's, you're a craftsman. It's whether you're a man or a woman.
Right.
And we've always wanted to highlight that and tell these stories, because they're amazing, you know. And over the years, we as a society have not done a very good job of protecting that knowledge, you know, and we've gone and lost so much of it because we just haven't protected it and haven't passed it on and haven't kept it alive. But there's people out there that are still doing things that are very close to you know, to us losing, and they're still trying to preserve it, and that's, those are the stories we tell.
Did you ever, you have no shortage of people that you could, you know, cover throughout the country. Did you ever worry that you would? Were you thinking, like, are we going to find these people? You knew right away that they were
Absolutely.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I grew up working with my hands. I grew up working woodworking and was raised to appreciate that value of working with your hands and the respect that you get from that for yourself, you know, your own self-respect. And then building motorcycles and being a metal shaper and traveling around the U.S. for bikes, I've met all kinds of different craftsmen, you know, leather workers and, you know, other woodworkers, metal workers, and, you know, you name it. And then when the show idea came up, I never once worried that, oh, man, we're only going to be able to do X number of shows because we're going to run out of people. There's people everywhere doing all kinds of things.
Why was
Sometimes
it?
Sometimes you just have to look at it.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No. You know? Why was it important for you to participate in the making instead of just covering it? You know, why is it important for you to sit cross-legged on the floor with an arrow maker and really try out the techniques?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that question. Because the point of that is to really show people that anybody can do it. Hmm. Right? I don't know how to make an arrow. I don't know how to make soap or make a sword or, you know, any of the amazing things we've done. I don't know. You know, I know how to work with metal and I know some woodworking, but I don't know how to knit. But for me to be able to go in there blind, not understanding, not knowing the terminology or what they're working with, and be able to, you know, struggle with it, obviously, sometimes more than others, but be able to make my way through it and produce something. The hope of that is that it inspires people that are watching the show to think, oh, man, this guy can do it. He didn't even know what he's doing. He's screwing it up. You know, I can totally do a better job than that. And they try it. That's the whole point of it. Like, hey, you know, blowing glass might not suit your fancy, but, you know, maybe something else will. And watching me, you know, fumble through it and make my way will allow you to, you know, hopefully try it out yourself.
There's another moment, and I want to stick on this episode with the arrow maker. He's a Cherokee man, and there's a moment when I was watching, you know, previewing that before our conversation, where, you know, it's so you're sort of quietly working together. There's a long camera shot of the two of you, and there's this moment that I realized this is what men did. You know, this is what people did. This is what, you know, all of us did at one point. There's a sense of community, too, in working side by side with someone and making these things together and just talking and then showing someone and saying, is this okay? And then that back and forth. It was really kind of this remarkable moment, which you wouldn't necessarily would expect would make great TV, but yet it does because we see we see it so rarely in the world.
It's something that we've, I think, lost touch with and lost the value of, because it was so important at one point in our lives to hold these skills so close to our hearts and make sure that the younger generations were able to continue those skills, and then we just lost value with that and you know, I don't know, got all screwed up. So it's really special being able to do that, being able to sit with different people and learn hand-to-hand with them and be able to go back and forth and ask them and say, hey, is this, yeah, like you said, is this the right way? Is this proper?
So you must have a moment then after sitting, you know, with someone and being in that space where then, you know, you leave and you get back in your car and your cell phone rings or, you know, where you're sort of jarred back into some of those reasons that our society has let these things go, which is the pace and the rush and the, you know, the mass production. Do you find yourself sort of jumping in and out of a cultural space that in one way is sacred and in one way is chaotic?
Sometimes, yes. I also am a strong believer in controlling your own life. As far as, you know, I personally, I don't like to be rushed. I don't like to work rushed. I don't like to feel rushed. So I really try very hard to keep myself out of those positions. And to me, that is a big part of not allowing the world around you to, you know, sort of suck you in. You know, I don't like working under those circumstances, so I purposely live my life around that. And, you know, to me, it just provides a large sense of relief. And I think, you know, to your point, sometimes you have to turn the phone off and leave it off and not worry about it. You know, like, we all did fine without them beforehand. And don't get me wrong, I love technology.
Right.
I'm a tech freak, you know what I mean? I love that stuff. But at the same time, I really enjoy just sitting there working with a piece of metal or sitting there carving a piece of wood, you know, and what I get out of that, I'm never going to get out of a cell phone or a computer.
My guest is Eric Gorgeous. He's the host and producer of A Craftsman Legacy. The new series begins on SDPB-TV's Create channel on January 9th. Eric, will you stick with us while we take a quick break, and then we're going to have more with you after that break, if that's all right?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Stay tuned for more. You're on In the Moment on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking this hour with Eric Gorgeous. He is the host and producer of the television program. It's called A Craftsman's Legacy. The new season begins SDPB-TV's Create channel. That starts on January 8th. If you want to see more about the show, though, you don't have to wait till then. Go online, craftsmanslegacy.com. Eric, thanks for sticking with us. Let's go back to what we were just talking about as far as having control of your life
and
not being rushed. That wasn't always the truth for you. How did you sort of move from a more frenetic life to taking that kind of control?
Well, I had a couple different moments in life that I don't know, sort of helped me figure it out, right? So in the 90s, I was working for Xerox Corporation. I was in an IT role, and I loved it. It was very challenging, and I loved what I was doing. It was a very exciting time. You know, Xerox was moving from an analog environment to a digital environment, and the reproduction machines and whatnot were going down that path. And like I said, I was a tech geek. And I quite literally was in the right place at the right time, because I never went to college, you know. But I knew Unix, and just right place at the right time. And then I got sick, and it was during that time that a friend of mine said, hey, you know, if you could do anything with your life, and it didn't matter about making money, and you didn't have to worry about your skills, what would you do? And I said, I'd work with my hands. I like to make things. He said, what do you think you'd make? And, you know, so we flushed that out a little bit. And I said, probably motorcycles. I love bikes, and working with metal fascinates me. I don't know anything about it, but it fascinates me. So that sort of kicked off that whole movement and me, you know, moving into a world of working with my hands for a living and, you know, just sort of following your heart a lot more and not worrying about money as much as I used to.
Yeah.
You know, and it is important. You have to have it, right? But I try not to let it force decisions on me, you know? And even if the job is paying a lot of money, if it's not something that you want to do, then maybe you shouldn't do it, you know?
Do you find that a lot of the craftsmen that you meet across the country have a similar backstory, where there was a point where they just said, this is worth my time, whether I'm making money at it or not, whether I have another job or whether this is my, you know, vocation? Did they have some of those kind of, you know, light bulb moments where they made a big change?
Many of them do. Yeah. Many of them do. Some always knew that they were going to work with their hands, or some knew exactly what they wanted to do at a very young age, and they followed that dream. So, you know, that's one of the best parts of the show to me, are the stories of the journey.
Yeah.
You know, like, how did you get to where you are now? It's never a straight line, you know. Some people had to, you know, start down that road and then take different jobs to help keep their business going and pay their bills and whatnot until they could get off the ground. And, you know, and some people just, they never worried about it. They were content with what they made, no matter how much that was.
Right.
You know, and it's all different stories, and they're amazing and wonderful.
And they want to pass this knowledge on in right to the next generation. They want someone else to come ask them,
absolutely,
how is this done? Yeah.
That's a very important part during our casting process is, to me, it's never been a question. To me, there's a couple fundamental things. If you have this sense of propriety towards what you're doing and that it's too important to be shared, mm-hmm, well, then you're probably not a good fit for the show.
Right.
You know, like, if, to me, it's a responsibility of the craftsman. That's part of taking that job, taking that role as a craftsman for a living, for your life, is understanding that hand in hand, you have a responsibility to continue that legacy and make sure that that information that you've gleaned over the many years is handed down to other people so that they can continue on and keep things moving, or else you're killing it, you know?
I feel an obligation because of my, they have fiber artists in my family, and I, you know, I know so much from growing up, but I don't do it often. My aunt is a great rug hooker, you know, tearing up scraps of wool and, you know, hooking them into a rug with patterns.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, you have to make that step, though, right? At some point, you have to be able to say, this is going to be hard. I'm going to be bad at it, but I'm going to keep going until, because it's important.
Absolutely. And you know, in a lot of ways, we're our own worst enemy, because we all forget that every single great accomplishment has always had day one, right?
Right?
Everybody, every artist, every craftsman, everybody, musician, whatever, has day one with that instrument, with that tool, with that, you know, medium. And you just have to learn. You have to enjoy it and just keep moving on. It's not a failure, a win-fail type thing. It's always winning. You're always winning. Even if you don't like what you made, you learn something from it, and you move on, and you apply it to the next project, you know?
All right, I got a project in my closet. I'm going to do it this weekend and call
go.
My aunt when I get stuck.
Yeah,
it is, right?
Staying in and, you know, doing some needlework.
And making a rug, right?
Keep
warm. Tell me about some of the things that you're making this season with other people. Who did you meet? Let's preview the upcoming season for folks.
This season, season four, is awesome. It's really, really diverse. We work with a swordsmith in Michigan, and, you know, he was just super cool. He actually got down to the molecular structure of the steel and tried to, you know, replicate that from, you know, hundreds of years ago. And we make a set of skis, handmade skis, and go snow skiing with it. We work with a group of people that make handmade jeans, blue jeans. And I'm a jeans and a t-shirt kind of guy, you
right.
know, so it was great for me. I'm out in Kentucky, and we made a whiskey still, you know?
Yeah.
And that was pretty fascinating, you know, that whole moonshine history and the process of making a still. The arrow maker, as you said, and then, you know, I work with a gentleman down in Texas that does Western hats,
yeah,
you know, in the old-fashioned way. So he had these, you know, machines that were, you know, 100 and some years old that measured your, you know, the circumference of your head and every little, you know, facet of the shape of your skull was, you know,
right,
pushed into this thing. It was crazy. That machine looks barbaric,
right?
But it's super cool, you know.
Do you ever get stuck when you're sort of doing the work yourself? Are there things that you're just like, man, I can't do that. I'm really bad.
Oh, yeah, all the time, yeah. Many, 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 many of the things I'm not good at, you know, because oftentimes, a lot of times it comes down to technique, You know, it's how you position your hands. It's how you hold the tool. It's the amount of pressure you apply. That's what it really comes down to. And there's no way to really pick up on that quickly. You know, it's trial and error, you know. So a lot of times what I do, a tip for people out there when they're learning something new, when somebody's explaining something to me and they're demonstrating it, I watch their hands. Okay. I watch how they hold the piece, how they hold the tools, how they hold, you know, their hands and where they position their elbows, because it really presents a lot of information in it. You can see the skin coloration, if it changes color or not. You know, your skin will change color a little bit on the amount of pressure you apply. And, you know, you could sort of pick up on that type of stuff. And it really does help a lot when you, you know, pick up something for the first time.
Right, and maybe they can't express it in words as much as they can, you know, people who are used to using their hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I worked with a ceramist back in season 3, we were on a wheel. I'd never used a wheel before.
Yeah.
And I was struggling with it a little bit, and he came over and he put his hands on mine. I didn't know how much pressure to apply. And the minute he did that, I knew exactly how much pressure to apply, and it opened up the world to me.
Wow. Well, I remember the first time I saw your show, it was, you know, one of those accidental switching around moments, and I just remember turning on the TV on SDPB here in South Dakota and saying, well, who is this guy and what is he doing? And then stopping and watching the whole episode. I'm guessing people, so thank you for that moment of just, you know, captivating me. And I'm guessing you have that feedback from viewers a lot where they say, what? And then, oh yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and it's nice. Yeah. You know, because a lot of people do. They find us, you know, flipping the stations or whatever, and they'll come across it, and they'll be like, what is this crazy guy doing? You know, and then they wind up enjoying the show. Or sometimes people read the description, and they're like, I don't want to learn anything about that. But they'll give it a shot and watch a couple minutes of it and then get sucked in, and they're like, oh, man, that was so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought I would enjoy whatever.
But there it is, because it speaks to the universal need in all of us to create and to know where the things around us came from.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Craftsman's Legacy is the show. You can get sucked into it too online right now at craftsmanslegacy.com. The new season is on SDPB TV's Create channel that is kicking off on January 8th. Eric Gorgeous, thank you for giving us a little extra time. It was generous of you, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it very much.